Okay, let's get back to business. Okay, our next item, the big one for the day, is Columbia River Fishery Management. And we have our regional director, Guy Norman, here to walk us through the presentation. Welcome, Guy.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Director Anderson, and Deputy Director Storr. I'm here today to propose a process and schedule to the Commission today associated with Columbia River Management and a number of Commission policies associated with Columbia River Management. The proposed schedule is for 2012, which is ahead of schedule in terms of most of the policies that we would be addressing. Most of those sunset in 2013. The reason that the schedule would be proposed to be moved up is associated with two events in the state of Oregon. One, an initiative petition, and another, which is a proposed alternative by the Oregon Governor, John Kitzhaber. And obviously, the state of Washington has interest in coordinating with the state of Oregon to manage 300 miles of concurrent water, and we strive for concurrent regulations in the Columbia River. So just a little brief background here, and of course, this will be a short summary. Oregon Initiative 81 received enough signatures in the state of Oregon to be on the November Oregon ballot. Primary factors associated with that initiative is that it bans gillnet and tanglenet gear in all Oregon inland waters, and that would include the Oregon side of the Columbia River. It does continue to allow fixed gear and seines in the Columbia River. And it also maintains future recreational fishery allocation at a level that's at least as high as the 2007 to 11 average in the Columbia River, including the select areas. Governor Kitzhaber expressed opposition to Initiative 81 and developed a proposal, an alternative proposal for the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission to take action and develop rules in 2012. That proposal, just in brief summary, it's got more detail than this, but I'm going to give you a brief summary. Phases out non-tribal gillnets in the main stem Columbia River with a transition period of 2013 to 2016, so a four-year transition period. It adopts selective sport fisheries as a primary management approach in the main stem Columbia River. It adopts commercial fishery as a primary management approach in the off-channel areas, and there's currently four off-channel areas, three in the state of Oregon and three in the state and one in the state of Washington. And then it addresses commercial mainstem opportunities with more selective gear for the future. Primary steps that Governor Kitzhaber proposes in his alternative approach is working in concert with the state of Washington to develop concurrent policy and sharing of investments and benefits associated with this approach. Begin immediately to shift salmon production to off-channel areas. Enhance the off-channel boundaries and or location. So what this means is extending or look into extending current boundaries of the current off-channel areas and then exploring potential for new locations with a primary focus on the north side of the river. A four-year transition period to keep the commercial fishery economically stable. And modest shifts of impacts to the sport fishery during that transition period. So a modest change in allocation is the transition proposal. And then a intended final outcome to benefit both sport and commercial fisheries, both from an economic and an opportunity perspective. So the Washington-Oregon directors and senior staff met to discuss the Kitzhaber proposal in August and to develop a joint state process. The timeline for developing the policy consistent with the Kitzhaber proposal is by the end of 2012, so that would be from now through December. The directors came up with a working group process quite similar to what we did in 2008. That working group is proposed to consist of three commissioners from each state. The Washington and Oregon directors and key senior staff, four advisors from each state, and presumably there would be a balanced representation of both the commercial and the sport fishing interests, and then a contracted facilitator, which is consistent with what we did in 2008. We also discussed a process and schedule, and we've got a proposed schedule here. So starting with yesterday, joint staff met to prepare for the working group. So we had an exchange with the Oregon staff and went through the Kitzhaber proposal, discussed details, and discussed working products that would be useful for the first working group meeting. The schedule would include a September 21 working group meeting in Olympia, and then another one in late October, date not yet set for that particular one. I have heard that the week of October 22 may be, and Director Anderson is, I think, indicating that perhaps we do have a day. And I think the sign language means October 22. So October 22, and I did hear, well, we originally discussed the meeting being in Salem, and I did hear that that meeting could be scheduled in Portland instead, and I don't know if that decision's been made or not. So October 22nd, either in Salem or Portland, would be the schedule. And then the first half of November, the commissions would separately discuss proposals and receive public comments. In late November, there could be either another working group meeting or perhaps a joint commission meeting to entertain proposals. And then the target would be commissions consider adoption of policies in the month of December. So I've represented the five key policies that would be in play in this process. First of all, the Spring Chinook policy, which is scheduled to terminate at the end of 2013. Summer Chinook policy, also the end of 2013. For Fall Chinook and Coho, management in the Columbia River of those species is connected to the North of Falcon guidance, which is a commission policy that is reviewed annually or semi-annually, and that is already scheduled for review in 2013. Sturgeon policy, which terminates at the end of 2013, and the hatchery and fishery reform policy, which was adopted in 2009 and is an ongoing policy of the commissions. Other considerations that are drivers for Columbia River fishery management decisions: the USV Oregon Management Agreement, which addresses treaty Indian and non-treaty harvest sharing and allocation of ESA impacts, as well as hatchery production upstream of Bonneville Dam. Salmon and steelhead recovery plans, which address all age impacts, so the contribution of harvest and hatcheries associated with recovery planning for a number of listed species that would be part of this management plan. ESA harvest biological opinions, which set the incidental take level for ESA impacts on that harvest has on these particular species, and also directs specific monitoring activities. Hydropower mitigation agreements. The most direct connection is with the FERC license agreements in the Lower Columbia, and for this state, in the Cowlitz River and the Lewis River. And then the key funding source is Mitchell Act, which funds the majority of the hatchery production in the lower Columbia River, as well as many of the actions associated with the HSRG and hatchery reform activities. And then Bonneville Power Administration funding, which funds the majority of the select area fishery activities, and also funds the majority of the fishery monitoring in the lower Columbia River. So that concludes my presentation, and I'd be happy to answer questions.
Okay. Very high-level overview there by Guy. Any questions on his presentation? Commissioner Schmitten?
Thank you, Chair. I'll let my neighbor clean up here for a moment. For those of us that weren't involved in 2008, I guess the issue that I'm curious about is the selection of advisors, how that process was conducted, and who they ended, not by name, but who they ended up with. Plus, I'd be a little bit curious how we go about handling issues such as economic questions, ESA impacts. I assume the department would, if they're capable of doing that. So, Guy, maybe start with you or somebody that was here in 2008.
Director Anderson?
From my perspective, there's a couple of decisions that the commission should consider today. The first is laid out a process. Obviously, there's been interaction between ourselves and Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife in bringing this proposed process forward. We briefed you on it on the conference call on Friday. So just ensuring that the process is acceptable from your perspective. The second piece is I think it would be good for the commission to formally make a decision on your representatives to the process, and if there was a desire or need on the part of the commission to identify any alternates in the event that one or more of your three primary individuals was unable to attend. And then regarding the advisors, the last time we had six advisors from each state. This year, we're recommending four from each state. The selection of advisors, I can't speak specifically to how Oregon's going to select theirs. In talking with Director Elliker as late as this morning, it sounded like the department would play a significant role in the selection of the advisors from their state. Last time in 2008, the commission selected the advisors, and I don't remember whether the advisors were selected by the subgroup of commissioners that represented the commission or the full commission did it. I don't remember. I think either way is would be fine. I guess my thought, given that we're 16 days away from the meeting, you think about, at least consider delegating the authority to your subgroup to appoint the advisors. I'd suggest you at least consider that. That would facilitate us working with your subgroup, talking about who making the contacts, all the contacts, people you may want may not be available. So just because we're going to have to get moving forward on that. And if we have to come back to the full commission for approval, that could be problematic from a timing perspective, but whatever you're comfortable with. The other piece, the contracted facilitator, when we met with Oregon, we talked about trying to get a Paul DeMorgan, who is with a consulting firm called Resolve. He was the same individual that, well, he was a facilitator for our Wolf Plan, but he was a facilitator for our process back in 2008, pretty familiar with the issues. I was tasked with contacting him, which I did. He is both willing and available. And so we'd have some cost sharing with Oregon. I've got a rough estimate of what I think that is. But so, again, kind of going back to where I was starting, I'm recommending that you take some official action to appoint your three commissioners for the subgroup, alternates if there's a need to do that, discuss appointment of the advisors, who would be doing that. I don't think I need any authorization to go ahead with finalizing working with Oregon to secure the facilitator. I'd be doing that. And then once we have our subgroup identified, I'm recommending that senior staff meet with the subgroup, make sure that if there is specific information that you would like to have prior to the 21st, make sure we know what that is and have a chance to get that information and answer those questions for you. Also, just have a dialogue about what we want to do in preparation of the 21st. I would think that on the 21st we're going to be identifying specifics to Governor Kitzhaber's proposal and any alternatives to that that we may want to consider as we move forward, giving then a chance for analysis to take place, any economic information that may be needed to help inform your decision, coming back to that October 22nd meeting, armed with that information. And you would have also then had an opportunity at your October commission meeting to provide an opportunity for public comment on the information that came out of the September 21st meeting. So giving the public an opportunity to comment through your regular commission meeting, going to that October 22nd meeting, and then you'll have another opportunity to provide some public comment at your November meeting before taking the next step. So, sorry to be too long-winded, but that's kind of the way I'm thinking about how this process plays out, where the opportunities for public input is. The meeting on September 21st and October 22nd would be open to the public. We'll have to talk with our counterparts in Oregon and decide to what degree we would have the public comment. We had an opportunity for the members of the public who observed the discussion to provide comments to the group. I would think that that would occur again, but not necessarily be an interactive kind of thing. So I'll stop there. That's okay. How I am thinking about this lining out.
Okay. So a question before us is who appoints the advisors? This is the question that Commissioner Schmitten raised. Do you have thoughts?
Sure, I didn't specifically raise that. As I had questions just how it was done in the past. I think the director has given us some guidance that is acceptable to me.
Okay. Does anyone else have any comments? I think it does make sense to leave that up to the subgroup, given that we are on a short timeline for the first meeting. Does anyone have any other contrary thoughts? Commissioner Mencken?
I think that the commission needs to weigh in as individuals as to their ideas on who should be on the advisory group. And I agree. I think that the three persons picked for the task need to make the final decision on who the advisors would be. But I think I've heard some ideas floating around that are good ideas, and I would like to have the commission have the opportunity to weigh in.
Okay. Would you want to weigh in first, or?
Would I like to weigh in first? You mean by nominating myself? No, I don't think so.
Okay. Commissioner Duvia?
Thanks, Madam Chair. I have thought about this committee, and I was part of the one in the previous years ago. But I think we are fortunate on our commission to have three people that are well in tune with this problem and have more in-depth knowledge than most of us. And our Fish Committee Chairman, Connie Mankin, certainly should be the leading of the group. Raleigh Schmitten should be a half a step behind, maybe even a co-chair in lieu of maybe some personal situations that may happen to Connie and his family. So he could step in if Connie was not available as the chairman of the of our group. And Larry Carpenter brings a wealth of knowledge to it, and I think that should be our core delegation for the committee.
Okay. We've heard the nomination of Commissioner Mankin, Schmitten, and Carpenter to serve on this subgroup. Does anyone have an objection? And Commissioner Schmitten?
Not an objection, but a comment. I'm just looking at schedules and in time frames. I'm fine with September 21st if I'm the person to be on this. I'm not fine with October 22nd. I'm fine with the November dates. Is there any flexibility on the October 22nd date?
Director Anderson?
And apparently I was mistaken. My understanding was that the three commissioners that are on the table right now were all available the week of October 22nd, or the week of October 21st, and conveyed that to Oregon, and they came back with October 22nd. So if there's a conflict there, I need to know that, and I would try to...
Director Anderson, the question I received was, I opened for the week that included September 21st, and I said yes. In fact, the preferred day was the 21st.
Okay.
I didn't get a chance to comment on the October date. Normally, there's some flexibility, but over a year ago, I subscribed to a week in D.C., as terrible as that may be. But so that week, I'm encumbered.
Okay.
The entire week? Commissioner Mankin?
Madam Chair, we have not picked an alternate. Perhaps the alternate could sit in on that meeting on behalf of Commissioner Schmitten. Okay. And I would propose that Gary Duvia, because he was involved in the 2009 process, be appointed as the stand-in, as the alternate.
Duvia, are you available that week?
What's the date of the opening elk season in Montana? You know, don't you?
Commissioner Duvia, I do not, but I know the opening day in Washington, and you have a commission meeting that day.
Oh, no.
Not again. I'll forego that. So I'll be available.
Okay. Director Anderson?
On the dates, on the October date, and I may ask Tammy to help here. We had originally asked about October 18th, I believe, and I thought we had individuals that could not do October 18th. Is that correct?
I think. Maybe I'm confusing September with October, but it was September 18th that I couldn't make. I could make the 21st.
Okay, so maybe could I ask about the October 18th?
Let me check. I might be able to do that.
Okay, so yep. If Commissioner Mankin, Schmitten, and Carpenter could let me know if they're available on October 18th rather than the 22nd, because I think the 18th was a day that Oregon was available. It was their preferred date, actually. I could go back to Roy and try to get the...
What day of the week?
The 18th.
I'll get right back. I think I'm available the 18th.
I'm available.
And the 18th is a Friday?
Thursday.
Thursday.
Okay. So we've got an alternate on the table, too, in case we can't find a mutually convenient available date. Any other thoughts about the subgroup composition? No objections? I think then we can accept that as our representative subgroup. Any thoughts about the selection of advisors? Because this is the opportunity for the full commission to give advice, guidance, or a directive to the subgroup regarding the composition of the advisory panel. Anyone? Commissioner Perry?
Thank you. My only comments on this organization like this that I've taken part in seem to work a whole lot better if the advisors have certain characteristics. Number one, having a reasonably open mind to other ideas, and number two, to truly represent their interest. And I think that those two should be major considerations on who's picked. That's all I have.
In lieu of our chair being occupied at the moment, I'd like to suggest an idea that we ensure that we have Tammy has access, this committee has access to her for backup and support and coordination, and for her maybe to attend these meetings if possible, to make sure we get good note-taking and follow-up information. And in between now and the 21st, we can start the discussion today and tomorrow, but let's get in contact with these three in terms of what we think would be alternatives that they should consider, and what we should give some influence or suggestions in terms of who they should look at for staff support.
Okay. Yeah. Director Anderson?
Regarding Commissioner Dubia's first point, I had already communicated with the chair and asked Tammy if she'd be available to attend those meetings, so that's all set. We will also need to have some additional assistant administrative support to send, make sure all the documents get mailed to the right people, and there'll be some costs associated with that. I've talked with Roy about that, so that's an additional piece that we're working on to ensure that everybody, that we have it properly staffed. If I could just make one other thought on the advisor piece, I think I'm feeling a bit of urgency, and maybe if after you take a break that I understand we may be having here in a minute, we could maybe even, if individual commissioners could get back to one of the three, or just maybe get back to Connie, whatever the right process is, with your ideas, you know, by the end of tomorrow or something, so that we can, because we're going to be giving folks pretty short notice when we ask them to participate in this process. So,
as the director indicated, we need a break. And the reason we need a break is that when the full commission delegates or appears to be delegating any of its authority to a smaller group of the commission, we need to view that as a decision, as a important action. And so in thinking about, in discussing the kind of subgroup that we want, the advice that we want to give this subgroup, we also have to think about the authority that we want to give this subgroup. Will it be acting on behalf of the commission in any way. So that is why we need a little bit of a break to clarify what we're doing here and make a very clear decision when we do act. So we need a little bit of a break so that I can consult with our assistant AG. So let's, Commissioner Carpenter.
Thank you, ma'am. I just have one question from a guy just for my own personal clarification. On your second to your last slide, the bottom bullet is hatchery and fishery reform and its numbers and years. Is that the same terminology as the commission's hatchery and harvest reform policy?
Correct. That was the intention.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Director Anderson?
Just as before we take the break, I just did want to express the thoughts that we shared with Oregon and when we were developing the process, is that what would come out of this work group are recommendations that would go back to the full bodies of the respective commissions. So there wouldn't be any decisions made from a policy or a rulemaking perspective at the work group. The charge of the work group was to come up, if possible, with a consensus recommendation that would then go back to the individual independent entities for decision making. Just so, I just wanted to be clear on what we were thinking, at least.
Okay. Commissioner Jennings?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just wanted to thank you for that clarification because I was a little confused about what the product of the working group was based on whether or not we're delegating authority to them, because my assumption was that they were negotiating on our behalf, in which case we do need to empower them to have some flexibility for the negotiation. Yeah. But also what the product was is not necessarily a defined answer, but a product that comes back to the full commission for our full commission discussion and then a formal vote at our commission level. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm hearing the process is.
I think that's where I expected a stand-up to.
Right.
But let's take a 10-minute break. We'll be back at 3:30. Talk about, while we're waiting for the other commissioners to come back into the room, Dr. Anderson, you're negotiating with Paul DeMorgan to be our facilitator. I noticed you didn't mention his name. Did you?
I did.
Yeah. Oh, okay, you did. My. So Paul will be able to be our facilitator again, and he was the facilitator during the 2008 Spring Chinook
Correct.
Development process.
Yes.
Looking back, I was not involved with that process. I was, however, involved with the earlier efforts to try to trigger a negotiation between the stakeholders that would be successful, between the sport advisors and the commercial advisors. And I remember it was difficult. The subject of the composition of the sport and commercial advisors was difficult in that earlier iteration. I know that there was a lot of discussion about how many sport advisors there were, how many commercial advisors. Did you and Director Elliker talk about the advisors at all and what kinds of interest groups would be represented?
We didn't go into that level of detail. But we did talk about the number of advisors, and I think we may have a different thought about what the appropriate composition of advisors is to represent Washington's interests than they do, and maybe not. But for example, we have a lot of sport fisheries above Bonneville Dam, and they have some, but not the degree to which Washington does. So our upriver sport interests, while they're important in Oregon, we have a lot of them. And so whether or not they would consider putting an advisor on there that had whose primary interest was in the middle and upper portions of the, well, the middle portions of the river, I don't know. That may be a much more important thing for us to consider. Last year we had in 2008, we had a county commissioner on as one of our advisors. I don't recall whether they did or not, but when we were looking at making sure that we had adequate representation of the various interests, we the commission concluded that a county commissioner would be a good individual to have with a pretty diverse perspective. And I didn't frankly want to try to match our composition with their composition in terms of who would be represented on the advisory group. So it was, as a result, of course, left up to the independently conclude what the appropriate composition and then who should represent those areas of interest that we thought were important.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Here's where we are after consultations with our Assistant AG. It is incumbent on us to take seriously any time we appear to be delegating our full commission authority to a subgroup of the commission. That is not what we intend to do. So we are needing to make it clear on the record that the subgroup that we're forming to go and consult with the subgroup in Oregon is not an official body of this commission that has authorities to make decisions on behalf of this commission. The subgroup will have no decision-making authority. To make that absolutely clear, that we are not delegating our authority to this subgroup, we also want to step back a little bit from the formality that we've discussed. We don't need a chair of the subgroup. We don't need a vice chair of the subgroup. In order to make it clear that we're not delegating any of our authorities, we don't want the subgroup to be selecting the advisors. We would like to ask the director to propose advisors, and if there's any objection by the full commission, we'll discuss it at the full commission level. In that way, we are making it clear that the subgroup is not delegated the authorities of the full commission. Okay. Commissioner Jennings?
Thank you, Madam Chair. That makes sense to me from a process perspective and clearly articulating what the roles and responsibilities are. I'm just thinking about the timing for coming up with the four advisors to be chosen. I guess I didn't do my due diligence. I didn't come to the table with four or six names in mind to bring. I'm not sure how many other commissioners did. Not that I need to do that for a good decision for the team, but are we looking at putting names on the table today? Is that going to be done at a conference call soon? I know you have a meeting coming up on the 21st or something, so time is of the essence to get those four individuals identified and asked if they want to participate. So time frame for how we're moving forward?
Director Anderson, do you need advice?
I'm sure I need advice. I was hoping that any particular individuals or the composition relative to the types of interests that you would want to make sure were represented, that you could get those to me by the end of tomorrow. So by maybe, hopefully by the time you leave here tomorrow, if you have something, if you could pass me a note to that effect, that would be terrific. And I just wanted to be clear that I understood what your suggestion was, Madam Chair, and that is that once I get that, I would compose a slate of individuals. I would email those back to the full commission and ask if there's objections.
Okay.
Is that what we're thinking? Okay. And so I would try to do that Well, if you're able to get your thoughts to me by noon, by the time we adjourn tomorrow, I will try to get that email out to you by the end of business tomorrow. And then if you could respond to me so by Monday of next week I could make the contacts of the individuals, I think that would work.
Okay. Commissioner Carpenter?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think I need a point of clarification here. So the subgroup is not being delegated the authority. So what are we going to be doing? Are we going to be delegated the authority to negotiate? And then bring that findings back to the commission? I want to make sure I understand that fully.
Yeah, that's the way it worked before, and it worked, I thought, quite well.
Okay.
And come back to the full commission with recommendations, and I assume there'd be a presentation on the details of such a layout of the proposal, and it's the entire commission that votes on that and discusses it.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
So there will be an opportunity for the subgroup to bring back the information that you glean from your discussions with the Oregon subgroup. So you will be conveying information to the rest of the commission. And I suggested that the rest of the commission will need to take seriously this responsibility to stay current with the details. So. Commissioner Carpenter?
Okay, and further clarification. Information or recommendation?
Well,
I heard.
Yeah, I was getting to that as
okay.
Well.
All right.
So there will be recommendations, but only recommendations. They are not decisions of the commission, and they will be discussed thoroughly, completely.
As always.
There will be opportunity for public input during full commission meetings, probably as many as two opportunities that the full commission will have to hear public input. And yes, we want the subgroup to have the flexibility to discuss ideas with the Oregon Commission. You're there for a purpose. This is the only way that we can go about doing commission to commission kinds of discussions, but no decisions will be made by the subgroup.
Okay.
Commissioner Mencken?
Another point of clarification and a question to Phil. If I'm reading this correctly, what you want from the individual commissioners tomorrow would be the types of persons that you would have on the advisory group rather than names, or do you want both?
Director Anderson?
You're free to do both. Give me the composite. If you have a recommendation on composition, I assume people want the recreational interest represented, the commercial represented. You may want some other interest, a business representation. You may want a county, rural government entity represent whatever that might be. You may want to, and you may have a recommendation for that particular interest. I would recommend that you appoint this person. If you want to take it to the next step and you have an individual that you think would be a good person to represent that particular interest, that would be welcome as well.
Okay. So get your ideas in. Another discussion that I thought we should have as a full commission is a conversation about what the full commission needs in terms of information. And I know that Commissioner Schmitten did his homework. He came up with a list of questions. Maybe this is not the entire list, but Commissioner Schmitten, did you want to share this with us?
Chair, this was meant to, in our opening meeting with the three selectees, this is a series of baseline questions that I put together that I felt that I needed and perhaps anyone looking at this issue needed. And I've passed it out to the members of the Fisheries Subcommittee as well, but I'm not sure we need to take the public's time to go through this.
Okay. Okay, well, this is a good opportunity to just remind everyone that it takes staff a little bit of time to put together information. They might not have it ready at hand. So do your homework right away. Think about the information that you will need, both the subgroup and the rest of the commission, and get that into the director as soon as possible. The other thing I wanted to bring up as a full commission is the education needs of the full commission. Four of us have been around, were there during the 2008 Spring Chinook decision-making process, but there are a number of commissioners who were not there. When I joined the commission, I think Guy Norman and Bill Twight and Cindy put in hours with me doing tutorial with, and I think Jerry Gutzweiler and Chuck Perry were involved, but I appreciated that extra time that I spent getting up to speed, because each one of these season runs is fairly complicated. So I wanted to ask if the new commissioners, or just offer that thought to the newer commissioners, if you feel like you need a tutorial, more information on the side, staff would be available, I assume. Do you have time? Director Anderson?
We'll, of course, try to accommodate any needs that the individual commissioners might have. If it was an extensive briefing, you know, we gave a pretty extensive briefing in August to the full commission, so would want the advantage, if possible, to know what additional information you'd like to have or detail on pieces that we presented before. Make sure that you have a copy of that presentation to review, and if there were more than one commissioner, if there was, you know, if you needed a couple hours, if we could try to have a briefing with a couple of commissioners at the same time to make the most efficient use of our time and sharing that information, that would be helpful. I think after we get through the first meeting and things get flushed out a little bit, it'll probably stimulate some ideas about additional information you may want. So,
okay.
So at this point, it's a little bit of a, well, I'll stop there.
Okay. Any other comments? Guy?
Chair Wacker, just to add to what Director Anderson said, we did have a pretty good exchange with the Oregon staff yesterday, discussed some of the products, some of the questions that certainly we'd need to have some information to answer. When we, you know, you look specifically at the proposals in the Kitzhaber alternative, it digs deep into sort of the specifics on a seasonal basis, on a species-by-species basis. A lot of complexities associated with that, I think, as the commission well knows, and other issues that come to the forefront, you know, selective gear development, for example, additional safe area potential, opportunity to transfer fish, conservation objectives associated with hatchery reform, etc. So there's USV Oregon provisions. There's a lot of kind of detail there, and I think a lot of that will be fleshed out in that first meeting, and there may be opportunity to, you know, have some briefings, you know, with individual commissioners to kind of dig deeper into that as needed.
Okay. Did you hear anything more? I mean, one of the people who testified this morning or this afternoon talked about the costs of expanding fisheries in the safe area. Is there any more information on where those resources might come from?
Well, Madam Chair, we didn't get into those sort of the cost details. I think there's a recognition that there is a cost involved. Oregon is putting together some alternatives for a transfer of fish from their side of the river that we'll discuss more thoroughly on the September 21st, I'm sure. There may be some opportunities to use existing dollars and to fund some shifts, perhaps. But as I indicated in the presentation, the funding sources, Bonneville Power Administration, for example, funds a lot of the select area production, and they've got some budget challenges right now. So there's definitely some cost issues that would need to be worked out, and I think we'll probably get into those pretty deep in that first meeting.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else? We're way ahead of schedule. No more to talk about on this subject? I guess you're right. We don't have anything to talk about quite yet, except the process. So is everyone clear? Commissioner Carpenter, are you comfortable?
Very much so.
You're being sent off to talk without any clear authority. So it's the way it is. Okay. Then I guess we are ready to recess for the evening. So we will adjourn. I mean, we will reconvene at 8:30 tomorrow morning. There's a fish committee meeting. You know where you're meeting? Director's conference room. And then we have a habitat committee meeting this afternoon. So, okay, we'll see you in the morning.
Question. What time is today?
Oh, sorry. Director Anderson?
Same thing as Commissioner Perry. What, could I ask the fish committee chair, what would you like to start your fish committee meeting earlier than 5 o'clock?
Yes.
Yeah, I think we could continue some of this conversation there as well in the fish committee.
Would you like to start it at 4:30?
Sure.
4:30?
How about
4? 4:15? We're at your...
Let's start it at 4:15.
Beck and call.
Okay. See you in the morning. Thank you, everyone.